Chapter 35. Bet. Gigi lingers around in Studio E, where I'm supposed to practice with Henri. I wish she'd just leave. It's already going to be torturous dancing with him again, and I don't need her watching us, making it worse. I stretch my leg across the bar and ignore Gigi. I wonder why she's hanging around. I remember how she let him stretch her during that week after the Nutcracker cast list went up. Tease? Is she going to take him, too? Date both him and Alec? She marches over to me.
Why do you keep sending me stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about. Is this another one of your crazy theories? I say, pushing deeper into my stretch and reveling in the pinch of anxiety in her voice. I look back at Henri, who hasn't looked up from his floor stretch to watch.
The letters? Gigi says. Really crazy, Bet.
And she isn't lying about that part. Letters? I say, even though there they are in her hands. Alec's words about how much he loves me, my breasts, all the things we love to do together, the tops of my thighs, the scent of my hair, how we'll get married one day. A version of our love story. And that is 100 times worse than having Gigi look at me with hate and accusation and pity. Where do you get these? I say. But I stumble over those words because I'm so stunned by the look of those letters in the studio light. They look 1,000 times more psychotic now.
Come on, Gigi says.
Maybe you took those from my room? I say. She thinks that I don't know she was in my room. That I don't have a way of getting Eleanor to tell me anything and everything. That I don't know when my things have been touched. But this is my school, and information isn't kept from me here. That much hasn't changed. You were snooping in my room, weren't you? You thought I wouldn't find out about that? Her face contains so many emotions at once. Confusion. Fear. Anger. She opens her mouth, no doubt to defend herself. I try to take the letters from her hands. I want them back anyway. I can't let her go to Alec with them.
You did everything!
She's practically shrieking.
You're not fooling me. Eleanor told me. I bet you push her into stuff. After our talk, I thought maybe. But this is actual proof. You did the glass in my slipper, too.
She's crying now, wringing the letters in her hands like they're dirty dish towels. At last, I'm close enough to pull them out of her grip, but she won't let go.
I have no idea what you're talking about,
I say, but she's too far gone.
Give me the letters,
I say through clenched teeth. She's holding them up and screaming about all I've done.
She's harassing me! She's trying to hurt me!
Gigi shouts to people passing by the door. All of them stand frozen by her accusations. Freshmen, sophomores, juniors, all upper ballet levels. I'm lucky the seniors are away on auditions. Level 8 girls don't need to see this. Girls from the hallway pour in now. They make sympathetic sounds. Gigi's muscles are flexing and trembling. No one wants to get anywhere near her.
Enough!
An RA pops into the room. The girls stick to the walls, their asses glued to the mirrors so they can watch like we're some silly TV drama and not actual people.
She did everything,
Gigi says. Her hand is over her heart, and she closes her eyes, taking a few wonky breaths. She looks like she is working damn hard to get herself under control. But I don't have to try. For once, perfect Gigi is showing all her messy parts, and I am in a perfect first position with an unflinching face. Who looks crazy now?
I'm just trying to do my paw practice with Henri. She's acting all crazy, I say,
my voice pitch perfect, without a hint of distress. And she's stolen things from my room. I feel the blood rising to my head with the fear that her accusations will stick, and I will get the blame for everything. Besides, I didn't do all of it.
There are other girls in this room with just as much to hide, with just as much reason to mess with her. The RA tries to usher Gigi out.
No!
Gigi yells. The noise is a howl, an animal sound, a tortured crack of vocal cords more than an actual word. Her hands tremble, and she stumbles and looks like she might just fall over.
I'm not done yet.
Yes, you are, the RA says.
Gigi throws the letters all over the floor.
You can have these too.
She pulls out the rest of the naked photos of Alec and me and adds them to the pile on the floor. I scramble to pick them up as others look on. That's when Henri finally gets up, and he must catch sight of the pictures, because he raises one side of his mouth in the world's most beautiful and terrible smirk. Then he grabs three pictures right off the floor.
Oh la la, he says, putting his own French accent on extra thick,
like he thinks that will somehow drive me crazy, or drive Gigi crazy, since she's the one he's looking at. He has naked pictures of me in his hands.
Very pretty, bet. Can I keep them?
Gross, I say.
You're a true belle, bet.
Henri says then, in a lower voice. The smirk is gone from his face, and for a glorious moment, I feel wanted again. Wanted and pretty and better than Gigi.
Do what you want with those, but I don't ever want to see them again, Gigi says, readying herself to leave. Please, just leave me alone, okay?
She rubs the tears away and has the defeated look of someone who just lost the big game. I'm keeping my ears open, I say. We'll figure out who's bothering you. I don't mean it as an offering kindness, of course, but a reminder to her that I'm not the criminal. I'm not the one they're all looking for. And to make sure that RA doesn't think anything or go report anything about me. Gigi just shakes her head. And anyway, I meant what I said. I don't want her injured and fragile. I just want her gone. The RA rushes her away, like Gigi's just learned her dog got run over by a car. And then she is gone, at least from the studio. The others follow. The show is over. The star has left. I exhale for the first time in too long, a loud sigh of a breath through my mouth.
You two really hate each other, eh? It's kind of sexy.
Henri raises his eyebrows, and I remember he still has my photos. Give those back, I say. He holds them above my head, out of reach. A girl like Gigi would jump up and down trying to reach them, but I am not that girl. Instead, I cross my arms over my chest and wait for his arm to get tired. Look up at him with a look Alec used to like. Wide eyes and a tilted head and a little pout. Henri laughs and lowers his arm, flips through the pictures one more time before pocketing them. I make a sound in protest, but he cuts me off.
I mean it, bet. You're gorgeous. Not my type, really. Too icy. But objectively hot, regardless.
It's not like I need reassurance from Henri. It's not like I need anything from the strange, mysterious French boy, who is nothing. Well, you weren't acting like that when we were in the PT room, or the last time we were out, I say, not necessarily wanting to remember those two past moments, but I can't let him win.
Maybe that was a mistake, he teases.
Now, Gigi.
I know, luminous, amazing. I don't need to hear it. I turn to leave. I can't possibly dance now. I prepare myself for a night in the dorms with the unfamiliar aloneness that is seeping into my life.
And if you've forgotten, you kissed me at the restaurant, Henri says. And you let me touch you in the water.
I want to say, in order to shut you up. Instead,
I sit down and undo my point shoes.
Whatever you think is happening here isn't happening, I say.
Then he sits down next to me and takes hold of my foot in his hand. I fight him at first, but he doesn't let go. I give him a kick. He takes it and doesn't let go of my foot. He unwraps the tape circling my toes. My foot is bruised and damp, and there's nothing alluring about that part of my body right now. It only looks delicate when it's wrapped in the pink fabric of a ballet slipper. Naked, it looks like it belongs to an ogre. He examines my toes, and for a second, I flinch, thinking he could snap one if he wanted.
Relax.
Henri kneads his knuckles into the aching flesh, and something in me gives in. It's not just the expert way his fingers find the pressure points on the sole of my foot, the soft spots between each toe, the calluses on my heel. I also surrender to the way he looks at me while he massages my toes, the endlessness of his stare, and the fact that he isn't scared to break me. I wait for him to bring up Cassie. I listen for her name, feeling it lurk beneath his every word.
You still want Alec?
There's an echo in the now super silent studio, and his words reverberate, hitting me hard, over and over. I wiggle away. He grabs my foot harder. I don't want to be stopped by him, but doesn't the truth always paralyze you? It does me. I can't breathe because of how real those words feel.
I want to be on top, to be back in dance magazines, to get another endorsement deal,
he goes on. I barely hear. I haven't even said those exact words in my own head, and I'm surprised to feel a give of relief in my chest. He releases my foot. I stand, trying not to let the ache in my knee show. I should run as fast as I can away from him. He follows close behind me, and I whip around before his hips press up against mine. I put a hand out until he walks directly into it. My hand presses into his chest. His eyes go narrow and his knuckles white, and I can feel his thoughts racing around in his head.
Wouldn't Alec just date seeing you with me? He says,
the whisper of his voice hitting my throat, feeling too cramped. He takes another step. My elbow bends against his weight, and I don't think he can get any closer to me. Alec is pretty distracted these days, I say. But of course, I know he's right. Even if Alec really likes Gigi, like he says he does, he still doesn't really like Henri. They've never gotten close despite being roommates. He would still be the worst person for Alec to see me with.
We can get his attention, Henri says.
His body touches mine at all the parts where I blossom. My chest, my hips, my thighs. He puts his forehead to mine.
Don't give up, pretty girl. When I get set on something, I get it. My maman says, obsession is the wellspring of genius and madness.
I hate him even more for calling me pretty girl. I don't know what his quote means, but I let his hands find my back, and it's impossible not to give in to them. They are huge and strong, and wrap around so much of my waist that it seems they could hold me up. And I haven't been touched in so long. It feels good to let the warmth of his palms seep through my tights into my skin. I could stop trying so hard. I could just give in.
It wouldn't be so terrible being with me, driving them crazy. It might even be fun.
He speaks directly into my ear.
And we could dance so well together that we become the next it ballet couple.
He drums on the small of my back.
I could forget everything I know, if you help me.
I hate my body for going so weak at the combination of his accent and his hands and his warm breath. I breathe heavily. The world feels suddenly small and cramped. I'm so tired.
I actually consider just letting him do what he wants. For once, couldn't I just do the easiest thing? His touch is so different from Alex. Eager and aggressive. Like he doesn't care what I did or did not do to his ex. He railroads straight through all the thoughts in my head of how this is a bad, bad idea. His lips find my earlobe, and there's the nip of his teeth on that soft centimeter of skin. I well up, not at the pain, which is tiny and a little sweet, but because having Henri touch me just makes me miss Alex's touch. The controlled danger, the mutual, aching desire. I used to get lost in Alex's touch, but Henri is pointed, goal-oriented. You're ridiculous, I say, but it comes out with a hint of a pant behind it, and I know I've shown my cards. I'm turned on. Not just from Henri being against me, muscles and dimples and all, but also at the idea of getting Alec back, taking control of my life, hurting Gigi. Getting a photo shoot in a dance magazine that's not bought by my mother's money or my sister's acclaim. You know I'm right. And even if I'm not, what do you have to lose, right? I hear a gaggle of girls pass by the open studio door and glass wall, but don't jerk away from Henri. Eleanor's voice is in the group, but I pretend not to notice. I let Henri lean forward just a half inch more and kiss me. His tongue is rough and thick as it forces its way into my mouth, exploring without consent. His hands wander, and even though I'm half repulsed, I can't help but respond. I feel small and scared, but at the same time, safe. It feels like a kiss and like a contract. It feels not good, but not bad either. But it feels like I'm back in control. Like I'm bed again.
Chapter 36, June. After rehearsal, I go to the cafe and pick up a bowl of the ganji porridge the chefs make for the Asian students. Everyone is grabbing full plates, with actual food on them. They're serving tacos tonight for Cinco de Mayo. There are little sombreros on the tables. I flick one off and watch it tumble to the floor. I head to my usual corner, but Will's sitting in it. In my corner. Alone. Without thinking, I sit across from him. You're good at keeping secrets, right? I say in my smallest voice, just to get his attention. I don't know him well, but he seems safe, kind, like he could keep a secret. Will jumps. He didn't know I sat down at all, I guess. Damn it, June, you scared me, he says, smoothing his hair. Maybe I am truly invisible. He gives me a long look before answering, like he must take in each facial feature one at a time. My mouth, my nose, each eye, each ear, the slope of my chin. I don't know what he concludes, but he nods and shrugs. We've never really talked like this before. He crosses his arms over his chest and clears his throat like it's a request for a subject change. Do you have a secret? Something to share? No, just thought it would get your attention is all, I say with a smirk. Part of me wants to tell Seijin's secret, Gigi's secret, my own secret. I wonder if I really could tell Will. Right now, in the half-empty cafe, in one long sentence, not stopping for air or advice. I wonder if I could just push out the words. Seijin might be a lesbian. Gigi has a heart condition. I've been messing around with Jaehee. Someone finds me beautiful, maybe even loves me, even if it's not my father or my mom. Well, secret-keeping is one of my best qualities, Will says, still pondering my face. But you should hold on to your secrets. That's one thing I've learned here. Don't trust anyone with them, not even your friends. Not even me. When push comes to shove, no one is that good at keeping secrets. His eyes fill with tears, the sudden gushing kind that I would never allow myself. I don't understand why, and I'm too weirded out to ask. He uses the backs of his hands to wipe them away, and keeps a smile grimacing on his face the whole time. I don't know that I really believed I would tell Will anything, but I had a momentary pinch of hope that I might not have the weight of these secrets on my shoulders, and now they have squarely sunk back onto me. What's wrong? I ask. He shakes his head, and tears well up in his green eyes again.
I thought I had something with somebody, but it's like so confusing. I don't even know why I'm talking to you about this. No offense.
I get it, I say. At least he's direct.
Maybe it's just stuff that's like different, because we're from different places.
He keeps talking with a little hitch in his voice, from the tears he keeps mopping off his face.
But like, answer this question for me, he says. If you spend time with someone, that means something, right?
What kind of time? I ask, feeling like he just took the words right out of my mouth, out of my head.
It could be a group thing, or just friends.
I try piecing together things about who he could have a crush on, or be in a relationship with.
You're alone, you make plans, laugh, joke, hang out,
he says, like he's building a case for this confusing relationship.
That means something. You know, we don't have extra time like that here, to just be hanging around without a reason. There's always something we could be doing.
He's right. We don't have extra time like regular teens to just play around. We could always be stretching in the studios.
It's so much better than before. I used to pine for Alec. I used to think that being his best friend meant that someday, maybe we could, like, try, you know?
I don't know, but I nod my head anyway.
Now, I don't know what I ever saw in Alec. He thinks he's the best ballet dancer at ABC, that he's a shoo-in for the company.
He's like an emotional roller coaster dipping from sad to angry, then back again.
But with this new guy, I just can't tell. Sometimes he's all flirty, cute texts, lots of smiley faces, you know? And then, the next time, nothing. Silence. I can't play this game again.
The tears come back, and I know where he's coming from, all too well.
Maybe in his country, this is how it goes. Maybe he's afraid to be out.
I lean forward and whisper. Is it Henri? He covers his entire face now, and his sob gets a little too loud. People look over at him. I pet his hand, trying to be comforting. It's not my strong suit. He grabs my hand and squeezes it hard.
Please don't say anything. I should just ask him what we're doing. I need to get it together.
Will's voice drops at the end of the sentence. I follow his gaze to find out what stopped him. It's Henri and Alec, then Gigi right behind them. Henri grins in our direction, but sits at a table across from us, alone, like he always does. Alec and Gigi lurk at the end of our table, like they're deciding if they want to sit with us tonight.
Looking all serious, kids,
Alec says, patting Will on the shoulder with two loud, hard claps.
Everything okay?
Yeah,
Will says, recoiling a little.
Why wouldn't it be?
Gigi sits beside me.
How was your day, June?
Like she's my therapist, her tone suggesting I've been having a rough time.
Fine, how are you?
I snap back.
Any more issues lately?
Her face falls a little, and I feel better, but Alec comes to the rescue.
Nothing lately, thank God. Maybe people have chilled out and stopped acting all stupid and childish.
Will agrees with him, like he's some sort of genius. And that's when I notice how Will looks up at him like he's the most beautiful person in the world. and how everything he just said about Alec has now disappeared.
You know, my dad asked about you the other day, Alec says, looking down at me, like he always does. He's always thought you were good, said your mom danced. That true? He didn't say much, but said it's clear she taught you a lot.
I think about Mr. Lucas saying my name, asking how I am doing. A glimmer of something like pleasure sparks in my chest. Maybe this is a good sign about my future at the conservatory, something that could save me from public school. Alec sits down next to Will, settling in like he owns the place, which he pretty much does.
He said you and Sejin and a few of those other Korean girls work too hard and don't get enough credit. You know, he said Sejin was probably the best dancer we have, but Mr. K doesn't like her face? It's disgusting, really.
It's so strange to hear him talk about the racist issues in the ballet community, like he's part of them and experiencing them. Maybe dating Gigi has opened up his eyes a bit, but it's not like he'll do anything about it. Not really.
He went off about that for a while. Weird night. My damn dad. He basically was trying to tell me Gigi will never get as far as Bet could, since the Russians love their snow-white blondes, you know?
Alec's chatter is nervous, and the hope I had is pinched out so fast, I forget it was ever there. He's just upset that his dad doesn't like Gigi, and Mr. Lucas wasn't really asking about me. He was letting Alec know girls like me and Gigi will never really get ahead. Except, of course, that's not true for Gigi at all. Only for me. I stare at Alec a few beats longer than is comfortable, and he notices. He laughs it off and leans back in his chair.
Are you guys mute?
He says, a teasing smile starting at his lips and moving across his whole face as he looks from me to Will.
No one really wants to discuss racism, Gigi says.
She rubs the back of his neck the way Bet used to. I guess to make her comment sting less.
Tired,
Will says. He has been a shade pinker than usual ever since Alec got here. His whole body is so tense and stiff against his chair that he has become practically a piece of furniture himself. And he keeps staring at Henri's back ahead of us. I still say nothing. No one wants to talk to the most privileged boy at school about the stuff non-white girls face in ballet.
June, ready to click the tutus?
Another dancer calls out, and I'm actually happy for the interruption. I rise, give a little wave, and scurry off. Gigi follows, calling to me to wait for her. But I don't. I hear her behind me. All the girls coming out of level 5 and 6 rehearsal hold their white practice tutus. We crowd the elevators up to our dorm. We enter our hall and everyone descends upon our room. I keep thinking about Will and his easy tears. He's like me in a way, always the outsider. But he needs to suck it up. Nothing will change what he is, what he'll always be here. He has to change things for himself, like I do, or learn to accept that.
Let me through,
I bark, trying to get to our door. Every night since rehearsal started, they all bring their tutus to my room for collection, my new job from Madame Matvienko. I volunteered with the hope that I could spend more time with her, slip in my questions about my father, and see what she knows. But I haven't gotten a chance to yet. I squeeze through the crowd to get to my room. Bet accidentally slams into me, trying to cut in front of Gigi.
Watch it!
She spits without turning around.
It's my room!
Gigi says, pushing past her.
Calm down, Gigi. You're getting all worked up.
Bet's eyes narrow in mourning.
I'm so worried about you.
She says it loudly enough for everyone to hear, her voice full of artificial sweetness, knowing the right way to set Gigi off.
Line up, line up!
I say, taking out my clipboard of names.
Hey, one at a time!
I protest. But they drop their tutus in the middle of the room, like I'm their little servant girl, Bet and Eleanor come in last. A pile of tutus grows in the center of the room, like the layers of a frilly wedding cake.
"What is that?" Eleanor says.
The cacophony of gossip and laughter cuts out. An abrupt stop, like when Victor pulls his fingers from the piano's keys at Morgie's request.
"Oh my God! Oh my God!"
one of the younger dancers says, seemingly unable to stop her mouth from making those words over and over. Bet covers her mouth, shakes her head, and backs up into the wall. A loud thud echoes when she hits it. They're all staring at the wall behind me, but I don't turn right away. Gigi screams, and I'm so startled, I drop the clipboard. I turn slowly. The terrarium is on its side. The twigs are scattered along the windowsill. Dried rose petals are scattered across my bed. I look away from Gigi. My stomach twists and turns. Each little butterfly body is pinned to the wall, a sewing needle piercing its center. Gigi drops to the floor and grabs her chest. Tears pour down her cheeks. I can't hear anything she says. She cries and chokes at the same time and makes such horrible squawking noises that everyone moves farther and farther away. Some scream for the RAs. Others start to go for their cell phones to call for help. Her whole body shakes, an uncontrollable shiver lasting seconds and then minutes.
Chapter 37. Gigi. The dark, dead eyes of my butterflies catch the light. Their wings are distorted and broken, so much more frail when they are still than when they were flapping. It is the saddest parade I've ever seen, unmoving and menacing, and deliberate. They are lined up so perfectly, I swear a ruler must have been used. My butterflies. My insides are cold. My face is hot. I feel as if I will drop through the floor. They are all out to get me. The words are loud in my head and reverberate through my body. I'm certain it's true. I'm certain this is a threat, not just on my place at the conservatory, but on my life. There are just those words in my head, and my monitor beeping in my ear, and my butterflies dead on the wall. Black and white spots appear all around me. It all goes a bit hazy, except for one more thing, the exaggerated shake of Bet's head, and June's knit eyebrows as she stares accusingly at Bet. "You did this to me!" I scream at Bet first, and then at everyone. My heart is a drum beating too fast in my chest. I don't know how to get it to slow. Everyone backs away from me. An RA circles in the hall, asking the girls what happened. I scream and scream at them all. Their faces pinch and eyes bulge as I yell. I lunge at them. June tries to hold me back. I feel her skinny arms grab at my waist. Bet backs away and races down the hall. I want to chase her. I want to chase all of them. "Who did this?" I scream. "Who did this?" I feel Eleanor's arm around me and an RA leading the way down the stairs. My eyes are so fogged with tears that I can't see how to get down the stairs or down the hall. My pulse races. I end up on the first floor in Mr. Lucas's office. He's the only person with teacher status still in the building this late. Other dancers brush past us, headed upstairs or home off campus, watching me pushed, crying and sweaty, into the office. Mr. Lucas's face doesn't move, doesn't crack a sympathetic smile at the sight of me, not even when he offers me the seat in front of his mahogany desk or listens to the RA recount what happened. I squish into the high back chair, feeling small, my legs dangling without touching the ground. He looks so much like Alec, but his expression is never as warm, as inviting, as Alex's. I try to wipe my nose and tears and pull myself together, but the thought of my butterflies makes the tears start again. My heart doesn't slow, and my head feels light, as if it could tumble right off my shoulders and into my lap. He closes the door and sighs. "You have had a rough time lately." His voice is serious. "I've been meaning to speak with you. I'm sorry that this incident is the one that has brought us together." He hands me a box of tissues and tells me that the school will be investigating all the incidents happening to me. His assurance doesn't make me feel any better, but I guess it's a start. I don't know who would do this. Bet? Would she kill my butterflies? Is this over Giselle? My head is a wreck of suspects, motivations, and drama. Mr. Lucas listens as I run down the incidents, the tears streaming the whole time. He stands, pats my shoulder awkwardly, nodding, clearly uncomfortable. He returns to his desk, makes some notes in a file, and clears his throat. "I hate to ask you this, but can we switch gears for a bit?" he asks, shifting his tie uncomfortably. "I don't know what's coming, but I'd rather talk about anything other than my butterflies and what the girls are doing to me." "I need to ask you a series of questions," he says, taking a sip of water. "Very serious questions." "Am I in trouble?" I squeak. "Did you do anything wrong, Giselle?" he says. I gulp. Not knowing whether I should just come clean about the one school rule I've broken, having Alex sleep over in my room a few times, and sleeping over in his room. Maybe I should just tell him. Then maybe he won't call my parents or bar us from seeing each other. I don't want him to think negatively of me, and I wonder if Alec told him I was his girlfriend now. I can't tell if he likes me at all. I'm all squirmy. I will myself to relax. "Relax," he says. "You're not in any trouble, especially not after what happened tonight. I just wanted to ask you about something." "Okay," I say, not sure what any of this is about. "You know I'm the school board president here at the conservatory," he starts. "Yes," I say. "And so my job is multifaceted. I'm mostly responsible for keeping the school balanced between the ballet side of things and the academic side of things. Our reputation is very important to us here." My mind races, and I inch to the edge of the chair. "So rumors of any sort can be detrimental and damaging to the school. And I wanted to ask you about something." He leans into the desk. "And it is imperative that you answer me truthfully. Words are powerful in our small community, and whatever you say to me won't leave this room." His eyes squint a little. I don't know what to say, so I shrug. The pressure makes my eyes fill with tears, and the look of concern on Mr. Lucas's face grows more intense. "Giselle, there's a rumor circulating about you and Mr. K," he says. I feel my cheeks ignite. "What?" "That there's been an inappropriate relationship going on between you," he says, not softening his words or making them feel less accusatory. "No," I say, almost shouting. He waves his hand at me. "I want you to feel comfortable talking to me. I know it's hard, but it's best to be honest." I'd never, I stutter, unable to defend myself. I would never think of doing something like that. I didn't know girls even did that type of thing. Tears pour out of my eyes uncontrollably, and I'm embarrassed that I can't control it. He gets up and pats my shoulder. "Are you sure there's nothing you feel has crossed a line?" I can't stand to look at his eyes. I know Alec will hear this rumor, that he might even think there's something to it. He saw a bad side of me a few days ago, how I let it all get to me, and I've yelled and screamed. And by now, he's heard how upset I was in the hall about my butterflies. "You have to believe me. There's absolutely nothing. I don't know who would, why someone would." "Okay, all right," Mr. Lucas says. His hand had still been at my shoulder, but he jerks it away, like he suddenly remembered that this, too, could be considered inappropriate. That's all I needed to know. Thank you, Giselle. I'm going to go speak with the RA about your butterflies and how someone could have gotten into your room while everyone was in rehearsal. June and I don't lock our door, I say, tears still falling. None of the girls really do. Well, we're going to need to change that. It's certainly a security issue. I'll be speaking to the RAs about this. He leaves me alone in his office, politely closing the door behind him to give me some privacy. I rush to get myself under control. Catching sight of myself in his wall mirror, I see just how broken I'm becoming. Red eyes, a rash from where Alex double rubbed my chin while we kissed last night, a faint black line under my eyes, remnants from the makeup I've gotten used to wearing but never remember to scrub off. It's not me at all. It's like looking at a stranger.
Chapter 38. Bet. I don't know that I've ever seen anything worse than the monarchs pinned to Gigi's wall. Their wings starting to tear, their terrarium markedly empty on the windowsill, the unsettling stillness that we are all lost in while we stare at the wall. Those butterflies are going to dry out. Their orange will turn to black, and soon they will crumble to dust. Nothing in the world should be that fragile. And then, the look June gave me in the aftermath, shaken, certain, accusing. While Eleanor wrapped her long arms around Gigi's shaking, screeching body, and June turned away from me to start cleaning up, I escaped. It isn't something I planned, but I found myself flying over to the 10th floor, Alex Hall, desperate to gain some control over what's happening. I'm still standing in the elevator, debating whether to step out. Yes, go. The person who tells the story first gets to control it. My mother's favorite thing to say whenever she finds herself in a lawsuit or dispute with someone she hates. Always be the first to tell your side. I race down the stairs to the 10th floor, and I suddenly feel cold and wish I'd brought the down coat my mother bought me last winter. I tremble, going straight for Alex's room, third one on the right. It's up to me to tell them what's happened, to tell Alec. I'm starting to believe my mother's words, and I can spin the story how I want. I have to protect myself from June's accusing stare and Gigi's manic accusations. Will's in the hall, a sniffly, snotty, runny-nosed mess. What are you doing here? He has a scarf on his head like he's Rosie the Riveter from a 1940s ad, and his red hair is pinned up into some sort of monstrous look. To see Alec, I snap. Are you going to finally tell him? Or should I? I'm so tired of carrying around your shit, he says. All it does is cause me issues. All it does is make me lose people I care about. Anything I say will sound defensive or delusional, and I'm not going to let him make me sound that way. I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever happened in the past stays there. You were always an eager and willing participant, so don't give me that crap. I need to shut him up right now. You're not a victim. I don't look directly at him anymore, though. My words are for him, but my attention is forward. I'm spotting, like we do when we pirouette, finding a place on the wall and holding on to it, even as we spin out of control. I'm finding a crack in the distance to keep me anchored, to make sure I don't take a spill. I have to do anything to stay in place right now. You made me drop her! He screams so loud I jump back. Doors creak open in succession. You used the whole thing with me coming out to my mom. You used how bad it was. You held it over my head, and I had no choice. He's hysterical now. Alec enters the hall in his pajamas. He's taking Giselle seriously, I guess, because it's still early in the evening for him to be ready for bed. It shows in the glow of his skin, the perfect shape of his body, that he's taking excellent care of himself. Meanwhile,
With no one keeping a lookout on me these days, I can feel the lack of sleep in my aching muscles and the need for more water in my dried-out mouth. Henri's shirtless behind him and with a cell phone to his ear.
Hey, what's going on?
Alex says, crossing his arms over his chest, and they seem wider and stronger. He's still lean, of course, but more solid now. I notice it more, seeing him in pajamas than I do seeing him in his tights every day at rehearsal. It strikes me that I've mostly seen Alec in his tights this semester. I can't remember the last time I've seen him naked.
It's Gigi, I say right away, afraid if I open with anything else, he'll shut the door in my face. It hurts to feel that way. Is Gigi okay?
Alec's sleepy eyes wake right up, his arms uncross, and he takes a step closer to me. I smell his familiar scent. Woodsy deodorant, mint gum, my own flowery shampoo that he borrowed once and never gave back.
Probably not, if Bet's over here telling you anything about Gigi,
Will says. Henri steps farther into the hall, his cell phone to his ear. He says something in French and hangs up, then settles his full attention on Alec and me, ever amused. Will seems suddenly paralyzed, looking back and forth between Alec, Henri, and me. He quickly removes the scarf from his hair and pats himself like he's primping. I trample over Will's words, desperate not to let him tell Alec anything that Will and I did to Cassie. Gigi's not hurt, but she's... I think something's wrong with her, in her head. She's falling apart. She... Well, I think she killed her butterflies. As the words come out, my back straightens. My eyes meet his. My shoulders roll back. I feel like myself again. Powerful. In control.
What?
Alec reaches for a sweatshirt from behind his room door, and a few more doors open. I raise my voice. I want them all to hear it from me.
Her butterflies are all pinned to the wall. I think she killed them all. It's, well, it's scary, you know? She's kind of scaring me. Us. She's scaring all of us. So I had to come over here.
Alec's face crumbles into concern. His eyes go warm and watery. He bites his bottom lip and reaches for his pocket and cell phone to call her, I assume. And then I know. He loves her. My heart's crack turns to a break as he nods his head and lets out a sigh. He is imposing and soft all at once, in flannel and a sweatshirt, and I have to be closer to him. She seems unstable, unsafe, I conclude. I force a little tremble into my voice and a pool of tears into my eyes. It doesn't feel like a lie then. I am scared of Gigi. I do feel a sense of impending danger. I am shaking. And then, all of a sudden, I'm crying too, and I reach for Alec. My hands slide from his waist to his back. He is muscle all the way around, both familiar and exciting. I'm scared, I say. And then I say it again, and a third time, and Alec's rubbing my back like he used to, massaging the places he knows my muscles get the most tense. I soak his sweatshirt with my tears, and it doesn't feel like I'm exaggerating anything or twisting the truth or doing anything remotely dishonest. I feel vulnerable and wonderful, warm at last.
It's okay, Alec says,
and the words land on the top of my head, get caught in my hair.
Deep breaths, okay?
I hold him tighter. I wait for Will or Henri to break this up.
It's not safe with her around, I say. I haven't felt safe in so long.
I choke on the words, how true they are. How unsafe I've felt since Gigi came to New York. Alec rubs my shoulders and takes a deep breath.
This is it, I think. He cares about me. He'll come back to me.
He'll forget about her. They were just hooking up. They're nothing serious.
The tears start to dry up. I tilt my head up toward his and give a small smile, a private one that neither Will nor Henri nor all the peeping Toms gathering in the hallway can see.
"This is ridiculous," Will shouts. "Really, Bet?"
He waits until the best part to interrupt. "Of course." Alec pulls away. My hands drop from Alec's body at the same moment he gives me an extra thank you squeeze. It feels like being punched. It hurts more than the worst muscle pull, or a sprain, or a bleeding lost toenail. I know pain. My body is more than familiar with hurting. But this is something else entirely. Like the moment after the Nutcracker cast list was posted. Except I don't think punching a mirror would help. I don't think my pills would help. I don't think talking to Eleanor would help. I guess I don't think anything would help. Alec turns to Will.
"What's going on with you? With you and Bet, too?"
"Ask her," Will says.
"Bet's been a naughty girl," Henri says.
"Why the hell are you out here anyway?"
Alec barks at Henri. But Henri just smiles in response.
"This is all stupid. Let's go,"
Alec says. He holds my hand like he'd hold his sister's hand. It's strange that I can tell the difference, that it's so obvious how much has changed just from the temperature and grip of his hand. Our fingers aren't entwined, and there's no hint of anticipatory sweat, no squeeze of affection. He's practically dragging me to the elevator.
"You won't get away with this again. I won't let you."
I look back and, yes, Will's following right behind us, shaking his head at me like he knows something. Like he knows everything.
"Alec needs to know."
"What do I need to know?" Alec says, pushing the elevator button. And in that moment, I realize that I've been so good at hiding the dark parts of me from Alec. Will used to be there to see those parts. My jaw drops.
"Just because you're messed up doesn't mean everyone else has to be. Gigi's a good girl. I was a good guy. You're just out to ruin us all, aren't you?"
It takes my breath away, the certainty with which he pronounces it. I move faster. All I want to do is get away from Will and all the things he knows.
"She made me drop Cassie, Alec. Right before the spring ballet last year. Bet made me do it."
He's all sobs now.
"She broke her hip because of us."
Alec drops my hand and stops. He steps away.
"Is he lying?" Alec says.
He asks me a few more times in rapid succession. I can't move my legs, arms, body, and least of all my mouth. His face twists with disgust.
"It's always been you, hasn't it? You're responsible for all of it. Sometimes I thought it had to be you. I heard the whispers. I even stuck up for you because I thought I knew everything there was about Bet Abney. She was my girlfriend, one of the best ABC Conservatory dancers. She worked hard. We worked hard.
Who are you? What happened to you?" His eyes become cold, steely.
"How was I ever with you?
It's all gone so, so wrong."
Chapter 39, June. It's been weeks, but Gigi won't take down the butterflies. They stay pinned to the wall, browning ghosts. They disintegrate in front of my eyes, their bodies drifting down the wall like dust. A miniature butterfly-themed horror show. "I can't look at them anymore," I say, when I'm trying to fall asleep. Gigi's awake, and the wall is partially lit by the tiny clip-on light she uses when she reads late at night. Their corpses look even more frightening in the strange shadows. She doesn't reply, but moments later, I hear muffled cries and I know I can't take them down myself without a full-on meltdown. I don't sleep that night. Long after Gigi turns off her tiny light, I'm still focused on the wall. The Dozen Little Murders. It was meant to be a threat to Gigi, meant to push her over the edge. But it's possible I'm the one who can't handle the reality of what happened. Gigi's dancing doesn't suffer. If anything, her rawness makes her better. Tears fall down her face in rehearsal the next day. Morky applauds her emotional connection to the ballet. But in the evening, she's back to weeping openly, sometimes sitting outside on the stoop, even in the rain, or wandering the halls, or just staring blankly in one direction or another, almost ghostly. Tonight, she gazes at her empty terrarium while I try to focus on my work. I'm on edge, waiting to see what happens to her, waiting to see if she will fully crack or just stay on the precipice like this forever.
"What are we going to do about Bet?"
she says, interrupting the silence with a broken-up, shuddering voice. "What do you mean?" I say. For the first time ever, I hope Alec is coming by soon. He knows how to handle Gigi better than I do. Loves her in a way I certainly don't. Wants to hold her and comfort her and make her stronger. I don't want any of that. I want her to leave. That's the truth of it. I don't want to watch her slowly fall to pieces. I want her to be pushed over the edge enough so that she vanishes back to California. Cassie vanished like that. Poof! Here 1 minute, and gone the next. I fight any guilty feelings I have over the little things I did to her.
I need more proof. Of what she's done. Don't you have any real proof?
Gigi turns away from her terrarium and looks at me full on for the first time in days.
She trusts you more. Maybe you can get information from her. You could record her talking, get her to admit to it all. Then we could get her kicked out. I mean, she tortures you too, right? We all want her gone, and then everything will be fine. Then it will be safe again. I'll be safe again.
The way the words come out in a rush scares me. She's been thinking about this a lot. She's been mulling it all over.
We're not exactly friends,
I say at last, looking down and away from the intensity of Gigi's face, the crease that has formed right between her eyes, the one that comes from deep thought and trouble.
No one besides Eleanor is friends with Bet.
Alec stops by before Gigi has a chance to finish her argument. She runs to his arms like she hadn't just been draped all over him during rehearsal earlier.
"How's my girl?" he says into her neck.
He waves over her shoulder at me, but she presses harder against him, and the wave is barely a breath before he returns his hand to her back.
"Maybe you can help me,"
she says to him when they pull away from each other and settle onto her bed. Alec raises his eyebrows and smiles, ready to do anything she wants.
"Of course. What do you need?"
"Get Bet to admit to everything, so I can report her, so that she'll leave and I'll be safe."
Alec's whole body responds to the request, a shudder that he can't control, and I know he may love Gigi, but his feelings for Bet aren't completely gone either. They probably never will be. Gigi doesn't seem to notice the reflex.
"Bet and I don't talk anymore," he says. "Not even as friends. I am done with her."
He looks to me for support. I don't want anyone digging around, so I nod.
"Bad idea,"
I mumble, but Gigi doesn't seem to even hear.
"You could start talking to her again," she says. "You could hang out with her more, get her to trust you again. I don't mind. I know I said I didn't want you around her, but this would be different. There'd be a point. It would be for me. It would mean everything to me. I need someone to... No one is doing anything about it. No one's investigating or punishing her or anything. So we just have to..."
"Gigi, you're not thinking straight. That's really a crazy..."
"You told me all that stuff was nothing. Not to worry about it. Now my butterflies..."
Her voice breaks in half. He holds her. I cringe.
"Then talk to your dad. Your dad will do what you tell him to do, won't he? If you beg him, or if you tell him you won't speak to him if he doesn't kick her out,
He's the head of the school. He's Dominic Lucas. He's important. He can find out anything, she says. Or didn't you say he has affairs? You could threaten to expose...
Alec practically throws Gigi off him and jumps off her bed.
Why would you say that?
He blurts out, his voice barely contained, ready to explode.
I told you that in private. I'm trying to be here for you. I'm supportive. You've been through a lot, but don't bring my family into it. Don't even suggest something like that. What's happening to you?
He shakes his head, like he wants to get the memory of her asking for the impossible favor out of his head. It doesn't work, and he takes a step closer to the door.
June! Tell him how dangerous she is!
Gigi is screeching now. I just shake my head. There's no right answer. I want Bet to seem guilty, but I also don't want anyone looking too closely.
You're Alec Lucas! You're Dominic Lucas's son! You can make things happen!
She yells.
Wait!
I say, distracted.
Your dad's first name is Dominic.
I repeat the statement twice as he's trying to calm Gigi down.
Yeah, why? It's actually his middle name, but he goes by it.
Everything suddenly explodes in my mind. Dominic. Dom. He used to dance in the company. So did my mom. How many other dancers could be named Dominic? It has to be him. But could it really be? That would make Alec my... I look for clues in Alec's long face, broad forehead. Could he really be my brother? Here all this time, right under my nose. I try to stay calm and not let the panic show on my face.
I bet she hurt Cassie too!
Gigi shouts. Alec catches her flailing hands, holds them still. He looks deep into her eyes, trying to make her focus.
I don't want to talk about Cassie, okay? Or any of this,
Alec says, ending that conversation. Gigi takes a massive breath to calm herself. A light pink washes her cheeks. A deep discomfort.
I'm sorry,
she says, first in my direction, and then again, even more desperately, to Alec.
I'm sorry. I'm getting upset. I'm scared. I don't like being here.
But you're right. She is a pretty crier, of course. Tears fall down her cheeks in gorgeous patterns. Her eyes go cloudy and her lashes are dotted with dampness. Ethereal, fairy-like. She licks her full lips, and Alec brings his hands to her face, uses his thumbs to wipe away the tears. Seeing them like that reminds me of the way Jaehee looks at me. Kisses me. I immediately want to call Jaehee, talk out what I've discovered. My father has been here all this time.
Okay, Alec says. Okay, I know. What's happened to you is terrible. Stuff like that has happened in the past. It's happened a lot to other dancers, he says. Nothing's gonna happen to you. I promise. We'll both look out for you. June and I.
He looks at me like we really are a team. That we are all family.
And I'll help you get to the bottom of it all, after the performance. We need to focus.
You're right,
she says finally. Her breath still shaky, a tremor still visible through her sturdy frame.
Maybe I need to stop thinking about this, to stop letting it fester.
She leans into him again. And the shaking stops, at least for a moment.
What I need is a clean slate, a fresh start, a new focus.
That sounds like the old Gigi, optimistic and happy and light. It pinches a little to hear the sweetness return to her voice so quickly, to know that mine will never be that bright, that in the end, despite everything that's happened, she still won. She's still the girl who has it all. The prima role, the important boyfriend, the happiness seeping out of her pores as her skin glistens like gold. In the end, she's lost nothing. Maybe the brightness is what I need. A little light to guide me out of the darkness. Maybe I'm the one who's cracked, who's lost my way in all of this. How could I do what I did? How could I not realize? Shame and regret rise up like bile in my throat, and I excuse myself to get ready for the pre-show party.
We'll celebrate tonight,
I tell Gigi and Alec as I leave, like it really is the three of us against the world, like we're really friends. But as I gather my things, I'm the one who's shaking. Neither of them acknowledged what I said. They've drifted off in their own little world. Because deep down inside, I know. I don't have friends. But maybe, just maybe, I'll have something better soon. Family. Long strands of lights glitter along the inside of the Koch Theater, where the company had its annual spring gala the opening night of the season in early May. But tonight is the conservatory's turn. Tuxedoed waiters dole out champagne, sparkling cider, and tiny little appetizers that sit on golden trays like unopened gifts. Everyone is all dolled up in their black tie finest, the ballerinas letting their hair down after months of having it pulled tight in buns. The whole grand event is like a release for all of us, the night before our Giselle performance. The ballerinas and their parents all talk loudly about the artistic directors that will be at opening night tomorrow, and how they're all going to do their pirouettes better and improve their variations. I focus on all the faces around me, looking for my mother. I scan for her dark, bobbed hair and one of the long pencil skirts she's probably wearing. I'd left her a message about the spring gala, and I know she got the official Giselle performance invitation in the mail. She never comes. Part of me wants her here. I am all alone in the crowd with no one to talk to besides a waiter, who won't get the hint that I don't care about how delicious the salmon croquettes are. The crowd shifts around me, like I'm nothing more than one of the hors d'oeuvres tables, as I remain silent. I see a woman with short dark hair, and I give the waiter my best imitation of an apologetic smile before running toward the woman. It's my mother. And a tiny part of me is glad she showed up. Maybe she changed her mind about pulling me from the conservatory. Maybe she'll entertain me staying. Mom, I say, grabbing her arm. The woman yanks her arm away and turns around. When she sees me, she frowns, and I know my mistake. Heiji's mother, not mine, glares back at me. She calls me a nuisance in Korean. That word I know, having grown up hearing it from my own mother. All the Korean mothers glare at me, including Sejin's mom. They are in one large clump. I'm sorry, I say. Then I back up, banging into others. I take off again through the crowd. My heart races at a new pace. I dash away to the farthest corner, where no one can find me. I am alone. I am always the understudy. I am the dancer who gets cast in the tiny roles. I reach for my phone to send a text to Jaehee. He hasn't responded all day, which shouldn't surprise me, but it still hurts. That day, with his dad and his friends, I thought things had shifted. I thought we were real. Since then, though, we're back to late-night chats and unanswered texts. I bet Sejin has gotten to him. Told him about Gigi. Told him that I'm unstable, that I pushed her. He probably thinks I'm damaged and dangerous. Maybe I am. When I was with Jaehee, I was the sexy, special, dangerous ballerina. The sob in my throat threatens to explode. I put a hand there, trying to hold it in. I snatch a flute of something sparkling, champagne or cider, I'm not sure, off a tray and down it. The bubbles go straight to my head, and my limbs feel looser immediately. I grab another flute, despite the waiter's lifted eyebrows, a warning. This one, I sip as I float around the gala, watching the other guests mix and mingle. I gulp the champagne and snatch up another. Mr. Lucas stands in the corner, talking to some patrons, his pretty blonde wife resting a well-manicured hand on his arm, quiet and polite and insipid. I think about what Alex said and wonder if it might be true. I ponder the planes of his face, his sharp nose, the same long forehead, and wonder if I might have found my answer, if he was right there all along. But if it's true, then how can he ignore me, standing right there? How can he not sense my pain and reach out? How could he have watched me all these years and said nothing? I take another sip of the champagne and start toward him, my stride determined. As I hover, just a few feet away, the wife, her bottle blonde too brassy, her eyes shallow, cuts me down with a glare.
"No shop talk tonight, darling," she says under her breath. "Mr. Lucas has bigger fish to fry."
I want to be bold, to ignore her, to plow forward, but the bitch delicately steers Mr. Lucas away, toward another patron. That's when I hear that familiar giggle. Alec and Gigi are being stupid, twirling a little and laughing. She seems light as air, as if she took her earlier words to heart, as if she's forgotten everything. I wish it were that easy for me. I wish I could forget, let go. Or, of course, have the guts to finally take the other option. The one I try not to think about, but the one that keeps turning up in my thoughts. Get rid of Gigi. As the bubbles slosh in my stomach, I realize I'm ravenous. I grab a canapé from a passing tray, then a second. The pit of my stomach still rumbles like the subway, so I head over to the buffet spread. Lots of salads, platters of meat and cheese, bruschetta, and little pot stickers. I pile a plate high with food, sick to my stomach just looking at it. Which is good, right? I can't afford to keep it down anyway. I'm about to take a bite when I hear a snicker.
"There she goes again."
Sajin's voice pierces my ears, my soul.
"Drowning your sorrows in dumplings, Ijeon?"
She points down the hall.
"That's the nearest bathroom," she adds, laughing. "You know, for when you're done."
"Sajin!" Jae-hee silences her with a withering look. But he doesn't come to my defense. I should have known he'd be here with Sajin. Furious, I take my plate and storm away, too exhausted to deal with her again. She wins. She can have him. He follows, his arm grazing mine as he tries to stop me, but I'm too angry to indulge him, too humiliated to give any of them the satisfaction. I walk out onto the terrace and sit at an empty table, picking at my plate. Jae-hee follows and plunks down in the chair next to me.
"I've missed you,"
he says, whispering close to my ear. I look up at him.
"Oh yeah? So why haven't you responded to my texts?" I ask, despite myself.
I can feel the heat burning my cheeks.
"She knows," he says, his voice still low. "I shouldn't be out here at all."
I rise, the anger billowing around me.
"Then forget about me. Leave me alone. Go back to Sajin and your cozy little relationship,"
I say, practically spitting as I start to walk away. But he pulls me back, grabbing my arm, his grip tight, his familiarity making my skin flame.
"Oh, yeah,"
I say, the hate changing my voice to something unrecognizable.
"But I'd give you something she never will," I say. "Too bad you can't have it both ways."
He's so shocked he doesn't stop me when I walk away this time. But Sajin's at the door of the terrace, watching us, a look of sheer terror on her face.
"Don't worry,"
I say, the menace still tainting my voice.
"I didn't tell your secret. Not yet, anyway."
Heading back into the party, I grab another flute of champagne, determined to drown all this out, at least for tonight. I'm sick of second place, of always being the understudy. I need to do something about it, once and for all.